It is currently 58 degrees and time for the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Ryan, what a pleasant surprise to see your smiling face here in the studio.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. It's been a few weeks. Hope you've been doing well.
I have. How have you been doing?
Good. Mostly out of the studio, but we're back, and so we're going to have a good old good time today on this day before the 200 and... What is it? What anniversary-eth is it?
It's like, what, 83rd or...
Well, it was 217 in 1976.
1976 was about.
So then it'll be 225 in 2001, 26, 27, 28. It's 228th birthday, our anniversary of the country's birth here. So let's just go ahead and say, happy birthday, USA.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, all the ships at sea. Welcome to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. no promo this week, no promo because we decided we would sort of spring this show on you. It's been quite a number of years since we had a particularly memorable guest named Mr. X with us, and he will return today. Stay tuned.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
And he has brought a friend with him. Mr. X and Mr. Y2 are in our KSCO AM 1080 studios. Who is Mr. X? For those of you who haven't listened, or who have just tuned in to KSCO within the last 8 or 9 years, Mr. X is a former resident of a prison here in California. And Mr. X has some very keen insights into the prison system. He was a resident for several years, 5 years in all. And there was a period of time much earlier, I believe it was around 93, 94, where we did a number of programs with Mr. X as the special guest.
I think it was 95.
95, okay. Yeah, and there he is. And there was one time that we even had a friend of Mr. X come in, and that program, we called him Mr. Y, and that program was Mr. X and Mr. Y meet Mr. Z. So what are we going to do today? Well, we have Mr. Y, too, because the original Mr. Y is not with us today. We don't know where he is. I'm sure he's doing fine, right?
He is. I spoke with him just the other day, and he's doing great.
Oh, good. Okay. And let's just sort of revisit. Let's revisit our. What have you been up to, Mr. X?
Well, it's been almost 10 years since I was released on parole into Santa Cruz County, and you know, at the time, I didn't think that anybody would hire me, so I just started my own business, and I've been doing that ever since, and I'm still doing that.
That's before you went to prison, had you been in your own business before?
I was self-employed.
So you were always sort of, you were not really someone's employee from way back, I think, probably, right? Or
right. I mean, I have on a few occasions, you know, gotten jobs and been an employee. But for the most part, I've never been the kind of guy that wanted to work for somebody else.
Just sort of the... You either have the entrepreneurial spirit or you don't, you think?
I have a double dose of it.
Really?
I really enjoy working, you know, 10, 12 hours a day and doing my own thing and like thinking outside the box. I mean, it's pretty much... I was the guy when I was in prison that if everybody was going to the chow hall, I was coming from the chow hall. If everybody was going to the yard, I was leaving the yard.
Wait a minute. Didn't they have strict... hours? I mean, how could you do that?
Well, I could read and write, which meant I could get a job. So in the prison system, there's not very many jobs, but if you can read and write, you can usually get a job as a clerk. So I always managed to land a clerk job somewhere. And then if I was working for somebody that was in a position of authority, you know, like the assignment lieutenant or somebody like that, then I had what they call a juice card that just gave me all kinds of extra privileges and things like that.
What does parole mean?
Parole?
Yeah. Parole means you're let out of prison, right?
Well,
but not you have
exactly.
to go back it's, sometimes or
well,
what?
Well, so you could. But
if you do something,
you know, it's
bad
changed
or,
a lot. Yeah. First of all, let me tell you that I've been completely, totally out of touch with what's going on with the California Department of Corrections for a good 5 years now, maybe 6 years.
Forgive me. I thought that you had become friends with your, like, parole officer?
No, I wouldn't say friends.
Friends.
I mean, I have a friendly relationship with him, but I mean, we don't have lunch together or anything. I've never had a meal with him. But I have, we've cracked a lot of jokes and, you know, and things like that. And I've talked to him a number of times over the years for different reasons, sometimes just accidentally running into him. But what sort of was interesting to me here recently was I got a phone call from him. And he said that he knew a fella that had just paroled who was forced to parole to Santa Cruz County as opposed to his county where he's from. Now,
how does that work?
Well, I don't have all the details, and we can certainly have Mr. Y2 elaborate on that. But as I understand it, they have a provision now that if you have a crime that involves a victim that's in the same community that you're paroling to, they give that victim an opportunity to say, I don't want that guy around here. And if that person takes that position, then you won't be paroling to that community. Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much right. I was involved in a relationship with a woman, and it went sour, and I went to prison.
As a result of that.
As a result of that, so... she petitioned California Department of Corrections, and they had me placed outside of Alameda.
Right. So you were on your way to Santa Rosa or someplace, right? You just got lucky.
Yeah, I was on my way to a place called Santa Maria, way down the coast.
Okay. Up the coast, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How long were you in for, and what were you in for?
Well, it was 5 years, and like I said, it involved a relationship with a woman that I had previously, and it turned into a violent situation, and so it was more or less, you couldn't call it, it would be under the grounds of a spousal situation, domestic violence, but I wasn't formally charged with domestic violence. They coupled all the charges together and gave me another charge, so it was along the lines of domestic
And at that time, you were living in Oakland or Hayward or something
At that time, I was living in San Leandro through the Bay Area.
In the Bay Area.
Yeah, in the Bay Area.
And you were pretty young. You were 22 years old.
Yeah, I was 22.
You're African-American.
So
our situation is a lot different, but we both spent 5 years in prison, and we both ended up having the same parole agent.
Yeah.
And it was this parole agent. We'll call him Mr. N. And he was... a good parole agent for me, you know, helped me get through the parole experience with a lot of, I don't even know how to express it. He helped me a lot and gave me a couple of breaks that I needed when I made mistakes by not reporting in on time or things like that. And he could have sent me back to prison, but he didn't. He just scolded me and made me understand what the rules were. But a few weeks ago, I got a phone call from him after not hearing from him, my parole agent, for a number of years. And he said that Mr. Y2 here was paroling into the community and was a bit disadvantaged because he was only 22 years old when he went to prison, and now he is 27, going on about 50 from what I can tell. And
you've been acquainted how long?
About, 5 weeks now, maybe?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. So... So when he was released into the community, he started looking for a job, and he was in Watsonville, and they had him staying in a little hotel down there that just kind of looked like something right out of the 1950s. It was really
The Recitar.
Say again?
The Recitar.
No, it was the what was the name of that place?
The Bates.
The what?
The Bates Motel.
The Bates Motel.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So, but it was like $450 a month for a room, and So he went around and knocked on every door in Watsonville trying to find work. Well, that's a little hard. You know, you just got out of prison last week. You don't know anybody in the community. Tough deal for him.
It's got to be.
So after about a month, more or less, I got a phone call from his parole agent saying, do you know anybody? This guy has some skills and some qualifications in a field that I'm familiar with. And so he thought maybe I might be able to give him a lead. And so we met for lunch. He took a bus, came up here, and we met and we talked. And it was kind of really a surprising thing for me because I hadn't been around anybody that had done time for quite a while. And I discovered how easy it was for me to communicate with him and how easy it was for me to relate to what his situation was and what he was going through. He was pretty frustrated because there was nobody that would even give him the time of day. Every time he filled out an application for a job, you know, I want to know if you have, and he's telling people, hey, I'm on parole. And there's not much unskilled labor jobs available for a person situated like him in the Watsonville area. So, I encouraged him to try to see if he could come up to Santa Cruz where he might have a little better chance finding something. And ultimately, what ended up happening was I was able to rent him a room so that he could be in my environment, and I was able to reach into the community where I had some resources and find him a part-time job. So that began to like get him reintegrated into the community.
That's wonderful. Let me ask Mr. Y too. I don't mean to be crass by this question. I don't know any other way to ask it. Do you feel that your five-year experience in the California prison system has rehabilitated you?
I would say that in no way has it rehabilitated me because more or less once you go to prison, you're there and you're stuck to find your own way as far as rehabilitating yourself. I would say that I've self-educated myself through the prison system, utilizing the library resources and things of that nature. But as far as being really rehabilitated through the Department of Corrections, no, I wouldn't believe that that's even close.
You know, let me interject something, Mike. The Department of Corrections isn't there to rehabilitate anybody. That's not their goal or their mission at all.
What is their stated goal?
Punishment. Punishment. That's their mission, punishment, followed up by protecting the community. So when a person has completed their time in prison and they're released to the community, they're actually still in prison. They're just allowed to be in the community. They're still supervised. They're still under the total control of the Department of Corrections, and they are really still in prison.
I see. So do you feel that you have been suitably punished?
Yes. Over and beyond to some degree, but to some others, probably not enough. So I feel that I've paid my debt back to society, in a sense.
Okay. Well, you're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ and Mr. X and Mr. Y, too. We would like to hear from you if you care to participate in this program. As always, our programs locally produced at KSCO AM 1080 are open to you to be essentially hosts yourself, guest hosts, if you will. If you have any questions, here's your opportunity to ask a question of not one, but two ex-convicts from the California prison penal system. Give us a call at 479-1080 or 477-1340, and we will be happy to put you on the air. We do have a fax machine. It is that phone number is 475-2967, and the email address for the program now and for actually any time you have any comments about the radio station is my email address, mz@ksco.com. I believe we're going to take a little commercial break right now to see if we can take a commercial break. That's what you take commercial breaks for. Are we ready, Ryan? Okay, great. So we'll be back. Stay with us, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley. We'll be back in just a moment.
An XM satellite radio listener gets commercial-free music day one.
Spend time listening to all of XM's music channels today, especially jazz and hip-hop. Not a single commercial break, so I couldn't call my girlfriend Allison.
Allison versus XM, day two.
Woke up with head on table next to XM radio. Ears felt good, but neck was a little stiff. Spent 12 straight hours listening to commercial-free punk rock channel. Forgot to call Allison again. We'll send flowers tomorrow.
XM 1, Allison 0, day 6.
4 voicemails from Allison. We'll call her back after Springsteen Marathon.
I'm rooting for you, Allison. Day 12.
Allison called, said if I'm not dead, we're through. We'll call her back just as soon as they break for a commercial.
Don't hold your breath, Allison, because all of XM's music channels are 100% commercial-free. And this year you get over 120 digital channels of music, news, sports, and talk. Check it out at stores like Best Buy and Circuit City. XM Satellite Radio. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
It takes a lot of energy to sell your home. And if you want someone to sell your home, call on me. I have energy to spare. Hello, I'm Heidi Theodore with Sherman & Boone in Capitola. How much energy do I have? I've lived in Australia, Japan, England, New York, and Santa Cruz County. I founded the Core Leaders Children's Theater, and this year we're putting on 4 plays. I started the County Daffodil Society, and we planted 360,000 daffodils. I speak Spanish, Italian, French, German, Dutch, and English, and I sell real estate around the world. I do have energy to spare. And if you want someone to sell your home, call on someone with energy. That's me. I'm Heidi Theodore, and I have the energy to sell your home. Call me anytime, 24/7 at 831-464-5093. I'm Heidi Theodore at Sherman & Boone, 464-5093. Oh, by the way, there's only one Heidi Theodore, and that's me.
If you think you missed the boat on low mortgage rates, think again. This is Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland with more good news for homeowners and home buyers. There are still mortgage loan programs that offer low rates and lower payments than you can possibly imagine. If your goal is to save money on mortgage payments, pull cash out for any reason, or to pay your home off early, please call Pacific Inland today at 475-2600. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
For over 400 years, the world-famous Lippis Honor Stallions have captured the imagination and excitement of the equestrian world. The Lippis Honors are the noblest of all breeds and were only ridden by the nobility and aristocracy of Europe. They are considered a living form of equestrian art. Less than 3,000 exist in the world today. Now, you have the opportunity of a lifetime to see them perform live and in person in a special anniversary edition of the world-famous Lippis Honor Stallions. See the dancing white stallions perform an exquisite equestrian ballet. See their spectacular leaps in the airs above the ground. Don't miss the world-famous Lippis Honor Stallions on their world tour. A must for all to see.
Santa Cruz Civic Auditorium, Friday, July 9th at 7:30 p.m. and Saturday, July 10th at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Tickets now at the Civic Auditorium box office and all Ticketmaster outlets. To charge by phone, call 420-5260.
Welcome back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. My name is MZ. We have special guests Mr. X and Mr. Y2 in the studio. Our phone numbers are 479-1080 or 477-1340. Like to hear from you. How often do you get the chance to talk to a real live ex-convict? Ask just about any question you'd like. Give us a call again, 479-1080, 477-1340, or phone lines, or 475-2967, the fax line, or mz@ksco.com. It's 25 minutes past 10 a.m. Let's take our first caller now. That would be Trent Gulch in Santa Cruz. Hey, Trent, you're on the air. Hello?
Michael?
Yeah.
It's Kent.
Okay, hi, Kent.
Kent Balch.
Oh, Kent Balch. That Kent.
How you doing?
Hey, good. Yeah, high school
friend.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask your guest that when he was in Watsonville, did he fill out an app at Couch Distributing?
Yeah, did you? Did you let me put him on there? Go ahead. Did you?
Cal's distributing? No.
Okay. Well, why don't you do that next week? Come see me at Couch Distributing. We're the local Anheuser-Busch beer distributor. And if you're willing to work hard, come on down.
Okay.
And this guy knows what he's talking about. I've known Kent for 35, 40 years.
Thank you, Kent.
Great. Hey, that's terrific. So you've been listening to, you just happen to be listening to the program, Kent?
Yeah, I'm on my way down to Santa Maria right now, Mike, to see my sister over the holiday. And, of course, I had KSCO on Saturday and was listening to my old friend Michael.
Cool. How are we coming in?
Oh, good. Good. I'm just through Watsonville now.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And you're loud and clear.
Well, hey, great to hear from you, Kent. Happy July 4th, and hope you have a great weekend. And thanks for calling in, and I'm sure you'll be hearing from Mr. Y, too.
We'll say hi to your sister and your mom.
Okay. Hey, thank you. As I've got a good friend, Kent Balch. Haven't heard from him in ages, but it's great to know that he's out there going strong. Phone number is 479-1080, 477-1340. So when you went to prison, Mr. Y2, first of all, was it pretty clear that you were headed there? I mean,
oh yeah, it's pretty clear.
It wasn't a surprise. What? I got to go to prison. It wasn't anything like that.
Well, I would say that, you know, once you're going through the court process, you pretty much get an idea of where you're going. You know, I was going through the court process for about 9 months, but it was pretty clear that, you know, I was heading not home, so I knew that I was going somewhere.
What were your feelings when you got there? I mean, did it scare the hell out of you?
Basically, I was a 22-year-old guy. You know, I really hadn't done much in the way of being incarcerated or anything like that. You know, I'd gotten in trouble as a juvenile, but nothing too serious. And being in prison, you know, it's a very eye-opening experience. Once you get there, you don't really know what to expect because all you see is what's on television, what's put out in Hollywood.
And that's what you expect. Well, so what was that?
A lot of it was true. There was, you know, the violent portion of it is a large factor in what goes on in prison. But for the most part, it's not as glamorized. It's not something where there's something going on every day like you see on TV. And you know, there's the guard thing with, you know, the interchange with the inmates every day. It doesn't happen like that, but, you know, things do occur, and it, you know, it's not somewhere where it's safe to be, you know, obviously, but, you know, it's not as glamorized.
Did anything really terrible happen to you when you were
No, prison? Nothing really terrible happened to me personally, but I've seen terrible things happen to other people. You know, I just was probably, I don't know, call it fate or luck or whatever, but, you know, terrible things do happen. Don't get it, you know, wrong or anything like that, but it didn't happen to me, so.
One of the things that surprised me about, you know, getting in contact with someone that was coming out of 5 years, I was in for 5 years, and Y2 here was in for 5 years. But I've been out for 10 years, and he's been out for 5 weeks. And so we caught up a little bit, you know, comparing notes, what was my time in there like compared to his time. And when I was there, there was weight piles, and I, you know, you could lift weights and things like that. And there was talk about doing away with the weight piles when I was just about the time I was paroling, and so that happened. They took the weights away, and a lot of other things too.
As a punishment?
I don't know if you'd call it punishment. What do you think about that?
Do they do corporal? Or do they do group punishment type things?
Absolutely.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, it's you know, but the weight situation was more or less it was politically motivated because there are some people that don't believe that a person in prison should have any sort of amenities. They shouldn't be able to watch television, or they shouldn't be able to lift weights or whatever. They're there to be punished, so that's what they want you. You know, there are a lot of people that want you in a box 24 hours a day, locked away, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wearing an orange jumpsuit with no personal property and no contact with the outside world, basically. Not even read newspapers or anything. No radio, whatever. Some of the changes that came about, I was kind of interested in maybe putting up some radio transmitters that would reach into the inside the prison. And I was curious, and so I asked him about that. Are you still allowed to have radios? And he said, yeah, you can still have radios, but they have to be made of clear plastic so you can see what's inside them. And I said, is that true for TVs, too?
It's true for anything that you get that's an electronic.
So that's a little different from your day, right, Mr. X?
Mm-hmm.
Because back
absolutely.
Then, you could have any kind of radio you wanted, probably, right?
But, you know, in regards to the thing about why they took away the weight piles, the rhetoric that I heard when I was getting ready to head for home was that a lot of fellas in prison do spend a huge amount of time on the weight piles, and they turn into the Hulks. I mean, they're just insane. They're just monsters. You know, they have 22-inch biceps, and they do, you know, just, it's unbelievable. And so you can imagine, you know, sometimes those guys get out of control because they've something's happened to set them off or whatever. It's a stressful environment. And, you know, if it takes 10 correctional officers to subdue one of those guys, they don't want to have to deal with them. So they figured that, you know, allowing inmates to develop their strength was actually didn't work in the correctional officer's behavior, you know, and in their favor, that is to say. And so that was one of the motivations, was let's not let these guys get so strong that they're hard to control. Is that right? Would you agree with that?
Pretty much.
It would sure make sense.
In the fact that people in the community were upset because people in prison were having recreation, and there's a lot of groups out there that don't want recreation in prison, which is understandable because when you go to prison, you go to be punished. So, you know, some people just have a different idea of what punishment is.
Right. Some people think that punishment is being denied access to the community and to your loved ones and to have, you know, female contact or to be able to do anything. Just being incarcerated is punishment enough.
Is there cable TV or satellite? I've got to know.
There is no cable and there's no satellite. Most of the stuff you see comes over the air. So whatever's being filtered over the air is what you're going to get. You just need an antenna and you can pick it up. But there's no cable, no satellite.
So you certainly don't have much of a choice when it's Soledad prison, right?
Yeah, basically, you have whatever comes over the air is what you're going to get. And same thing with
so
radio
television.
Stations.
That's like one or two channels, right?
I'd say
maybe
at the
three.
Most there was probably about four or five different channels. But it was enough to keep informed. You know, most of the time, most people just watch news all day anyway. News in the morning, news at night, news in the evening. You know, whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. When I was in. I had a television. I had my own TV, which you're allowed to have. And the place where I worked, I was in a factory making furniture and desks and chairs and things like that. And so that was a really special place. So I was in Soledad in the what they call the East Facility. It's Prison Industries, and we manufactured about $7 million worth of furniture and conference tables and all that kind of stuff every year. Mr. Y2 was in Susanville, was it?
Yeah, I was in Susanville.
What's that like up there?
Cold.
Oh. Well, wait a minute. So you weren't at Soledad?
No.
Well, I just presume that the same parole officer was...
Now, the parole officer is part of Santa Cruz. And so when you are released back into the community, you go to the county. The normal thing would be you'd return to the county that sent you to prison. So in my case, I returned to Santa Cruz because I was convicted in Santa Cruz. In Mr. Y2's
and
case...
And no one objected.
Yeah, and no one objected, right? And so in Y2's case, he tried to return to his community, but he wasn't allowed to return to his community, and he ended up here. Which is, it's really a hardship for him, too, especially being African-American, because there's a really low population, so he doesn't have very many people around.
A low population?
A low black population.
Oh,
in
okay.
I mean, and in Watsonville, I think it's even less.
So wait.
Did you see any other black people in Watsonville when you were there?
On occasion, I would see, you know, people. But really, my main focus was trying to find work in... That obstacle was something that was difficult because a lot of people see on the application, all right, you've been convicted of a crime, you're not hireable. You can't be working here. So they don't
just automatically.
Automatically. A lot of times I'd get the interview, go through the interview process, and I felt that I did a pretty good presentation. And two or three days later, you get a letter in the mail saying you're unhireable at this time, and we're unfortunately able to not hire you. So that's pretty much the way it went. But as far as, you know, the African-American population in Watsonville, there weren't that many. But, you know, I was new to the area, so I was just trying to, you know, fit in.
Weren't that many in Santa Cruz either?
Well, no, there's not that many in Santa Cruz. You know, it's not like a big thing, really. But, you know, sometimes you feel a little out of place. You know, I feel a little out of place sometimes.
Sure. And forgive me, where is home? Oh, it was Oakland, I think, right?
Well, Oakland is originally where I grew up, but around the Bay Area is, you know, Alameda County, really. So different cities in the Bay Area I've lived in, but I would say Oakland is more or less home more than anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. What if you could just write your ticket today, Mr. Y2, and snap your fingers and have it come true, what would you be doing with your life? What would happen?
Well, you know, I have an interest in film. I have an interest, you know, I have a lot of interest, really. Before I went to prison, I was going to school. I was going to technical trade school. So I had an opportunity to get some of my certifications, and now I come home, and most of those certifications are outdated. So basically just get reacquainted with, you know, being out in the free world, get reacquainted with the things that I had interest in, which were, like I said, film and some other writing projects. And
you mean like being a film critic, or being a film producer?
Once I got in prison, I started having a lot of one thing you have is just all this free time. So I used most of the time that I had to read and educate myself or whatever. And then over the period of doing that, I developed a interest to write. So I like to write, and I thought that, you know, writing for film would be something that I'd be interested in, more or less that, or
like screenplays, or
screenplays,
something like
or doing production or something like that.
Well, you've written a screenplay, haven't you? I mean,
yeah, I've written a screenplay, in the process of finalizing that and polishing it up, trying to go ahead and submit that, and along the lines of, you know, comedy type deal, but. I also write a lot of short stories, and I just have a passion for writing and a passion for reading literature, pretty much.
Was that developed in prison, or did you already have that?
I already had that, and it just got to be something more being in prison, because you don't have much of anything to do with your time. You know, either you're going to do something to get yourself in trouble, or you're going to do something to educate yourself, or you're going to do something to keep yourself from blowing up and being involved in all the madness that goes on in there. So my escape was reading and writing.
And watching TV.
Oh, and watching the news.
Have you seen the Michael Moore motion picture that people are talking about? Have either of you?
No.
Oh, not yet. Okay, so last week we did a program about that. I had just seen it because it had been just released the day before. And I'm sure a lot more people in the KSCO listening audience have seen it since then. So I was just curious. Well, no, very curious if you do get a chance to see that, what you think about it, Mr. Y2, you know, because you have this interest in film. So
I would like to comment on something that has been a kind of a fun thing for me, observing Y2 here. He's discovering things every day. I watch him discover things.
Such as?
Just things about, you know, his freedom, or how the world has changed, or, you know, what's going on around him, what he has access to. It's, you know, I see him discovering things, and I get a kind of a vicarious enjoyment from it. Almost like watching a child learn something new and kind of experiencing that excitement of seeing a child discover something. I see him discover things all the time. I had a ringside seat when he got his driver's license. It was about the same as a 16-year-old kid getting their driver's license. You know, it was like, you know, getting connected, or getting, you know, or learning or discovering, or pretty neat.
Oh, it's got to be really, really satisfying. Well, let's get into a discussion of. Maybe we shouldn't, but I'm very interested in what you both feel now about the prison system. You had told me, you had said just a few minutes ago, Mr. X, that its function is to punish, it's not to rehabilitate. Do you think that my question about does Mr. Y2 feel rehabilitated, I mean, you sort of rolled your eyes when I said that, because it's like it's the last thing in the world that is meant to be. Don't you think that most of society feels the same way I did, that is the function of the prison, is to rehabilitate rather to punish than to punish? No? So I'm just sort of out there on that one, huh?
Well, you know, it's a moving window, and there was a time when that was one of the considerations, the idea of rehabilitation or education, but that went by the wayside. You know, I think back in the mid-70s or somewhere, the law in California changed dramatically from what used to be called the indeterminate sentencing on crime. So if a person, let's say, committed a burglary, they could go to prison for somewhere between 2 and 10 years. And the length of time they were there was determined by their conduct and their resourcefulness while they were in prison.
And the, like, 10 years to life was another kind of indeterminate sentence, right? Or not?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about. Yeah. Well, 15 to life is or 20 to life.
Something to life.
Yeah, that's indeterminate. That's the only crimes that are indeterminate now, as far as I know, are crimes that involve murder. I think, or attempted murder. Or
murder.
Maybe kidnapping.
Kidnapping.
I think so. You can be sent to prison for indeterminate length of time, but all the rest of the crimes have an actual amount. So. And like in the case of a burglary, for example, which is a very common crime, it's 2 years, 3 years. Let's see, it's 16 months, 2 years, or 3 years. And the courts are essentially required to sentence you to 2 years in prison unless there's some mitigating circumstance, which might mean you could get a 16-month sentence, or if there was an aggravated circumstance, in which case you could get a 3-year sentence. Like in my case, I got an aggravated sentence for a burglary. And by the way, burglary doesn't necessarily mean breaking into somebody's house and stealing something.
You just answered a question. Callers have wanted to know what they were in for.
Yeah.
So what, yours was burglary?
Well, I had many counts. My thing was complicated. In my case, I facilitated someone to make let's see, how would I put this? I was involved in a counterfeiting of identification. And that led to somebody going into a store and uttering a false document. In this case, it was a counterfeit personal check, and they bought something with a check. So the act of entering that building is burglary, because burglary, the definition of burglary is entering a building or a structure, even three-sided, that with the intention of committing a crime. So, and it's kind of interesting, because if you were to enter a building and you didn't have the intent to commit a crime, you're not committing a burglary. So you could take a situation where, let's say, a person...
I guess it's possible for someone to inadvertently commit a crime.
Well, look, it wouldn't be burglary. Let's say that it could be trespassing. Like, let's say you're freezing cold and you're outside and there's this building and it's locked up and you're freezing, you're going to die, and you kick the door in and you go inside. Okay? That's not burglary.
What is it?
That's trespassing.
Okay.
Or unlawful entry or something. It's not right. Burglary. Right. Burglary is entering a building or a structure with the intention of committing a crime. That's it, the intention of committing a crime. So if a person, let's say, had no money in their pocket and they went into a store and they shoplifted, that's burglary. That's a felony burglary. They can go to state prison for that. But if they had money in their pocket, you can't really prove that they had the intent to shoplift, because they did have money in their pocket. So therefore, probably you could just get them for a misdemeanor petty theft. So it's kind of off the subject here, but it's kind of funny. There was a story about a guy that got married when he was like 16 and somewhere in the Ozarks or whatever. Lasted about 10 minutes and never saw her again. And 35 or 40 years later, he's in California. He's a successful businessman. He marries a woman. He knows he was married to some girl in the Ozarks 30 years ago, but he just doesn't take care of that. They get married in a church. He committed burglary. He went into a building with the intent of committing the crime of bigamy, because he's already married.
I gotcha. Burglar. Wow. Never would have guessed. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ. And guests, Mr. X and Mr. Y, too, both have been residents of California state prisons. And we're having an interesting discussion today, this day before the anniversary of the country's birth. If you want to participate in this discussion, please give us a call. Feel free. It's 479-1080 or 477-1340. Our fax line is 475-2967. The area code for all of those phone numbers is 831. If you're listening to us from outside the 831 area code, you will obviously have to enter the area code. We do have a fax from George in La Selva. MZ, I thought the reason for removing the weights was when prisoners get stronger and are released, and when they commit their next crime, they cause more damage on society than before. Well, that's what George thinks.
Yeah, I don't think that's it, George. I think it's about the safety of the correctional officers. The CCPOA, California Correctional Peace Officers Association, the strongest union in California, and one of the biggest contributors to certain political funds, is very, very strong, very powerful, and they're very concerned about the safety of the employees and the people that work in corrections. So that is the underlying motivation for that. But you know, what's interesting is why don't you tell us how the inmates dealt with that?
I would say circumvented doing that by going and making water bags, sandbags, push-ups, using chin-ups, pull-ups, things like that, bar work. And so, they just don't get as big. They just, redirected it into a whole different way. And people still work out. It's just not with weights.
What did you do?
Well, we used bar work, dips, pull-ups, things like that, calisthenics and aerobics most of the time. Every now and then you might use a weight bag or something like that, but they're always being taken away, so there's really no real benefit from keeping them, So, but most people just do calisthenics and push-ups and things like
that. Yeah, one of the things that used to drive me crazy in there was, let's say that there's a lot of female correctional officers. Some of them are pretty good looking. And so some inmate is on the weight pile, and a female correctional officer walks by, and they whistle or, make a hoot or something or other. So then, that just stirs it up, and they slam the weight pile and take all of the weight pile closed for 10 days or whatever because somebody disrespected a female guard. So they punish all of the inmates. So, the inmates that are there, they know which guy was the one that whistled, so they tune him up afterwards, and the cops know that. They know that's going to happen. So it,
how do they tune him up?
It could be anything. It could be intimidation. It could be steal his bedding or break into his locker or beat him up. Or it could be anything. I mean, if a guy's got a routine going in that weight pile and that's his main form of entertainment and whatnot, and some other guy gets it taken away from him, he's not too happy. And, you don't have a lot to lose. What are they going to do? Put you in jail?
With this Abu Ghraib prison thing in the news recently, a prison scandal, a world away or half a world away. Are there any prison scandals? You never hear about prison scandals here in this country.
The nature of prisons. It's going on behind walls.
But why is it you hear about it from across the world, but you don't? We just assume that it's going on, and that's just a fact of life.
Are you alluding to this thing that happened in Iraq that had
yes.
to do with... Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's... first of all, how can you trust whatever you hear in the media? I don't have it. I'm so distrustful now of the media that
Why is that, Mr. X?
Well, it's just...
More distrustful now than before you went to prison?
With every passing day, I'm more distrustful.
Why?
I just see that the media is part of the problem. It's as if you have two groups of people. Let me see if I can put this in a different example. Every year around Christmas time, there's problems in the prison system for some reason. It's like
more than the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, and it kept building up to it, you know. Yeah. And
it's holiday time; they can't be with families or whatever.
Yeah, stress runs high. Right. But what's really interesting is that it's not an uncommon thing to hear, like some correctional officers might tell some white gang members that blacks have been carrying a lot of knives, been finding a lot of knives on the black guys lately, you know. And then some other correctional officers are telling the black guys, hey, what's going on, man? How come the white guys are packing knives, or how come the white guys are wearing armor, you know, or stuff like this? And so pretty soon, it's like you got these two banty roosters that you got them all jacked up, and you throw them in the pit and you let them do their thing. And when that happens and it kicks off and there's violence and all that goes down, then there's a whole bunch of overtime, a lot of overtime. You know, you're not even, if you work there, you're not allowed to go home if something kicks off. You have to stay there and pull a double shift. Well, double shift means, you know, time and a half or double money. So it's just odd, you know, for all the years that I was there, it seemed like every time it got around Thanksgiving, the same kind of thing started happening again. You know, so I kind of think that the media is kind of like that with these, like, the people that are opposed, you know, have political, you know, like, let's say there's a group of people that are diametrically, is that the right word, opposed to another group of people.
Okay.
So you get the newspaper people or the media people, I'm not going to say newspaper, just media people in general, they're running over here stirring this guy up, and then they're running back and stirring the other guy up, and then they're running back and stirring the other guy up. Everybody's
sort of like what we do on the Saturday special.
Well, yeah, I know that you like to stir it up, but, you know, human life and blood and that sort of thing doesn't generally hang in the balance here at KSCO.
Right.
But it does in a lot of places in the world. And, you know, stirring it up and continuing to stir it up and saying, well, he said, well, she said, he said, he sh-, you know, back and forth, you know, it just continues to escalate. I don't think it's a good thing. I think it's a bad thing.
Okay, so you think there's more and more of that going on in the media every day?
Every day. And so I'm sick of the media. I'm sick of what they're doing and the way that they do it.
Do you listen less?
I listen less. But, you know, I also have the same attitude about advertising. There's so much of it. I'm just bombarded by it everywhere, in every place, in every way. So now I don't
and
look
guess up. What?
Now I don't do
it. You are going to be more and 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 more bombarded. Because every just most businesses that are being invented these days are advertising-based businesses. That's how they make their money. With the advent of the internet and so forth, and the various new media forms, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot myself. How every day that passes, there are more and more kinds of advertising or forms of advertising being created, or someone thinks about, but not more people to advertise to. So what they're doing is they're just splintering the audience.
Yeah, but I think what happens is that the audience just tunes out, and then you just tune out to everything. You know, just at all.
I don't think they tune out to everything. I think there's too much. There's more and more external stimuli, you know, in our lives, and there's with the information age, and that's going to continue. You think it's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. It's gonna, you know, as bandwidth gets more.
I don't agree with you.
Really?
Yeah, I think that it's becoming more and more and more ineffective, and that the only people.
Oh, I didn't say anything. I agree with that.
Yeah, I think the only people that are doing any good with advertising are the people that are collecting money to put it out there, like the, you know, advertising agencies or radio stations or TV stations, or the people that are collecting money to deliver a marketing message. But I think that those marketing messages, for the most part nowadays, fall on deaf ears. You know, I've recently been doing some research with postcards and how to use postcards. Postcards are a highly effective marketing tool. And it's like you have 1.5 seconds to get your message across or you're going in the garbage. If you can't, you know, catch your viewers' attention in 1.5 seconds, you're done.
Who told you that?
Well, it's an understood fact. If you get out there and start learning about what's going on with direct marketing and direct response marketing. But that's getting pretty far off the subject of prisons. I think that what I saw that was interesting to me when Y2 showed up in my life here recently was that he had a similar experience. And I have relationships now with people in the community that I have fostered that are 10 years old, that since I got out of prison 10 years ago. And in the first half hour of talking with Mr. Y2, I discovered I communicated better with him, a person that was a lot younger than me. I'm 60 years old. He's 27 years old. We both spent 5 years in the prison system, so we had a similar experience. We could communicate on a higher level and better than in a matter of just a few minutes than I could with people that I've had a relationship with now for nearly 10 years. So that was kind of an eye-opener for me.
Maybe you would have communicated with him had he not been in prison, if you would have met some other way. I mean, maybe personalities just gel. I don't know.
You got any thoughts on that? I mean, you know, suddenly here I am in your life. You know, how do you see it?
Well, it's a possibility that we could have met in another way because we both have a common interest in a certain field. So that's highly likely. Whether or not the prison thing has anything to do with it, you know, that's really left to be unsaid right now because it happened, so, you know.
Yeah, you know, some of the things we talked about in our very first couple of meetings was how people in the community disrespect each other. This is a really weird thing. In prison, after you've been in there for a while, you sort of figure out that everybody's in prison for the same reason. They disrespected another person or their property. That's why they're there.
Uh-huh.
And yet the most paramount rule in prison is not to disrespect anybody. So if you're standing in line to get your chow, you know, eat your dinner, and you bump into the guy next to you, you best apologize and it best be sincere. Because if you show disrespect to other people in there, you're going to know that you're going to feel the effect of that. It's going to come back. Respect is a really important thing. And what I've observed with Y2 here is that he encounters people in the community, and just in their normal mannerisms, the normal way people work in the free world, they're disrespectful. They're disrespectful to people. And when they disrespect him, it causes him to have to focus on keeping his cool. Or I don't know if keeping his cool is really the right word, but it's
like in perspective that, you know, they are more or less being as they are as a person, as an individual, and the rules have changed. The rules are different now, so just, you know, not take everything so personal.
Let's take a call from Vernon. Hello, Vernon.
Yes, Mr. X and Mr. Y, too. You know, we've often heard that old saying, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. But my question is for both of you that have been there and in your interactions with other people in the prison system, do you believe that the punishments that are prescribed by the courts are appropriate to the crime? Excessive, too light, do you think that people, and how would you modify the system? I personally think that there are not enough distinctions in the way we, you know, deal out punishment for various things, and I think that a lot of the prison system's a waste. So anyway, that's something to kick around. That was my question.
Okay, who wants to kick it around? Do we all want to?
Well, as far as the time, I'd say that, like you said, if you can't do the crime, can't do the time, don't do the crime. But in the sense of the court system,
if you can't do the crime, don't do
no.
The
if
time.
You can't do the time, don't do the crime.
Oh,
yeah,
oh.
I got it mixed up.
And actually, I can illuminate that a little bit. I had a friend that was pulled. The police came to his house for domestic violence. He had never done anything, but his wife asserted that he did. He didn't do time, but they put him through a whole anger management course, and sometimes that's, you know, I'm trying to get to that part of it too.
Did that happen to you? Did you have to do one of those things?
No, I didn't have to do one of those, but in my case it was a lot of different because I did what, you know, they said I did. But the thing is that in the court system there are a lot of people who go through there through court who have done crimes that are less serious than an individual that has done something more serious, and sometimes you see a conflict in the sentencing because just say a guy who...
Wait, excuse me, you got to hold that thought because it's coming up on 11 o'clock and we'll continue.
I'll hang up and continue to listen.
Thanks, Vernon. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville. Here's USA News back in 6 minutes.
And now it's time for hour number two of the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
And it says here apparently multiple callers have asked the the correlation between the correctional facilities and our nation's birthday. There is no connection. I mean, what is that? Why would multiple callers call in and ask that?
I don't know.
What's wrong with you, multiple callers?
You know,
does that make any? I mean, so what if it has nothing to do with a nation's birthday?
Well,
I just happened to mention that it's July 3rd, the day before the 228th anniversary of this great nation's birth. And they get all upset because we're talking about prisons and want to know what that has to do with it? What's wrong with you people? Anyhow, what you wanted to say something?
Well, I was just going to say that one of the things that we talked about was I was curious what happened. When I was there, I felt a certain... I still was an American. I'm a veteran, and I still believe in my country. I mean, even though I was incarcerated, I felt that, you know, that it, the conditions of my incarceration spoke well of America. And, I mean, I'm not saying it was that there weren't plenty of room for improvement, but, you know, nobody was putting bamboo splinters under my fingernails or torturing me in some, you know, hideous way. And I was thankful for that. And I think that one of the things that was curious to me was what was the reaction in the prison system when we went to war? And when, you know, 9/11 happened. And I want to throw that back over here at Y2 because he had a ring seat. See, he was in there. And
but before you do that, I mean, this is terrible. You know what's happened? We have deviated from the format here on the Saturday special. We have begun hour number two without officially beginning hour number two.
Yep.
So we, without any further ado, what's ado? And how do you spell ado? Do you know how?
I believe it's A-D-O.
Yeah. What does it mean?
What
does ado mean?
The actual definition.
Yeah. Does anybody know what ado means, or is it just one of those words that people say? It's sort of like sit back. When you say sit back, the next word is always relax. So why don't they just make it one word? Sit back, relax. Just one. I don't understand. We can talk about these things and more on hour number two of the Saturday special if multiple callers are upset that we're talking about the prison system. Anyhow, let's start hour number two the correct way here.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
All right, one of only two callers last hour, Vernon Cubes, had sent me an email saying, Michael, great potential for a Saturday special if you can manage to bring yourself to it. A little enthusiasm on the part of the host would really liven it up.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Is that a way of saying that we should talk faster? And be more lively, huh?
Sure, let's talk faster.
All right, let's talk faster and be more lively here. Maybe get some more phone calls at 479-1080 or 477-1340. If you don't want to talk about the prison system, we don't have to. We don't have to. You can tell a joke. You can complain about the traffic on Highway 1. You can always do that. You can tell us what you were doing when Kennedy was assassinated. There's all kinds of things that you can say. 479-1080 and 477-1340. We don't have to stick to this.
Anyway, what I was asked,
but what you were, yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to ask Y2 if he could elaborate on what it was like for him in there when 911 kicked off and how the inmate population reacted to that.
Because you were there then, huh? You were in the joint,
yeah,
as it were.
So, I mean, you know, it went two ways. There were the people that really didn't care, and then there were the people that are very patriotic, and then there were the people who had a problem with everybody that was of the Muslim religion in prison, and a lot of those people got a lot of flack, and they were, you know, attacked sometimes. So, but more or less, the mode there was pretty somber, both on the correctional officer side and the prisoner side. So, you know, there was a reaction to it. Now, I can't really say that there was an outstanding impression left in my mind because of it in prison, but I'm pretty sure it was the same as where it was on the outside world. People were upset and they didn't like what happened.
One thing is that the guards and the inmates are often very opposed to each other. But there you had an opportunity to actually be on the same side of the street about something.
Yeah, there was a common ground, it was a shared experience, there was a lot of emotion.
I've got a great question. I think it's a great question. Tell me about the political persuasion of the political composition of the inmates where you were. Are there more Democrats or more Republicans?
There's more
Democrats.
There's more independents. I'll just say that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
People
that just really
don't care about.
They don't really care. They really don't take sides. They pretty much do their own thing. So you got to remember, a lot of people have the attitude of independence in prison. They're there for being, their own people or their own man or whatever. So they really don't bind themselves to any rules or anything.
That voice belongs to Mr. Y2, who, along with Mr. X and MZ, are bringing you hour number two of the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. Join us if you care to, 479-1080 or 477-1340 are the phone numbers to call. We'll bring you into the conversation. If you want to fax us, our fax number is 475-2967. If you want to email us, mz@ksco.com is the very simple email address to use. Yes, it's so simple that even you can use it. It's 13 minutes past 11 a.m., and let's go back to the phone lines. I believe our next caller will be May in Santa Cruz, wants to know how many are in prison for political reasons or involvements. Hey, is that correct, May?
Oh, it's Ray.
Oh, Ray. Oh, excuse me.
And yes, politics plays such a large part of our life today, and sometimes politics is going off in the wrong direction. How many guys end up in there that are in there because they're kind of normal people, but they got off on the wrong side of politics?
I didn't see much of that, I don't think. I mean, I'm sure there are some political people that are incarcerated because of their political persuasion, but most of the people,
is that what you call a political prisoner?
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's so few, and from my exposure, I don't know if it's changed, but very few people in there have a very much of an education to begin with. So I think the average reading level is like fifth grade or something like that.
No.
So, yeah,
really?
Yeah, it's really bad, and you're not going to find a lot of people that have political belief systems or are affiliated with Republicans or Democrats or whatever, because they just don't have the educational level to have that as a part of their interest. But, that was my perspective 10 years ago. Have you got something on that?
Well, the thing is that you have the state prison system, and then you have the federal prison system. And most prisoners that are of a political prisoners that are political, they go to federal prison. So that's where they would be. They wouldn't be in a state facility.
Oh, okay. All right. We do have another phone call. CB in Pebble Beach will be our next caller on the KSCO Saturday special. Hi there, CB.
Hey there. Good show, Michael.
Why, thank you.
I was interested when you asked the question about rehabilitation. And then the gentleman said that, no, it didn't rehabilitate him, but he got rehabilitated. So it seems to me, in just listening to that, that he certainly found a motivating force there to go ahead and do what he could to improve himself. I mean, wouldn't we classify that as a characterization of rehabilitation?
Well, that's one way of looking at it. What do you think, Mr. Y2?
Well, yeah, it's, I've rehabilitated myself in a sense, but as far as Department of Corrections actually rehabilitating me, no. They don't have programs for that. And nowadays, because of the budget and things like that, there are so many different programs that they may have had before that they start canceling out one by one. But it takes you have to take initiative upon yourself. You have to be motivated and you have to be determined to, you know, hey, I came to prison. I did this when I came here. I don't want to be this way when I leave. So I have to make the changes for myself. And if you don't have that drive or that motive, then you're not going to be rehabilitated, no matter what program they have or no matter what environment they put you in.
Well, I think that makes the point then, that even if they had programs, if a guy's not motivated, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, interesting. What about reading programs? Is there any kind of literacy programs whatsoever?
They do have them, but for the most part, they're on a volunteer basis. Like most of the people in prison who are able to read and who are literate, they volunteer their time and help the people who aren't. But then, too, it has to be an internal personal decision, because sometimes people get involved in those programs just because they want to have some sort of credit. They want to have some sort of free time outside of their cells. So they're available, but a lot of times people don't utilize them in the way that they're set up to be.
Huh, interesting. All right, well, good job, man.
Thank you, CB. Appreciate your call. That was CB in the Monterey, Pebble Beach area. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special with guests Mr. X and Mr. Y, too. We're talking about prisons, but and the prison system. We don't need to necessarily stick to that topic, but I think it's pretty fascinating nonetheless here. If you want to give us a call, 479-1080 or 477-1340. We'll connect you to our KSCO on-air phone line, and you will be able to ask a question or make your comment right here on the radio. So, let's see. It's about 14 minutes. No, excuse me. It's about 17 minutes past 11 a.m. We're in hour number two. And there's someone from the West Side, and I don't want to mispronounce somebody's name, which is what I've been doing all morning long. So who is it who's on the air?
Barry. It's pretty difficult to mispronounce Barry.
Well, because it sure looks like Rary, R-A-R-R-Y. Does it say Rary? Oh, it is Barry. Okay, well, I'm going to believe the man on the call, the caller himself, because he must know who he is.
Sometimes I am a little wary, but my name is Barry.
Good comeback.
You're on the KSCO Saturday Special, Wary.
Two different questions. What I'm wondering is if either of your guests think that, like the media, if the prison guards operate kind of like the media, where they play both ends for the middle to watch the spectacle. In other words, are the prison guards kind of starting stuff sometimes and just enjoying the show?
Instigators.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let me talk about that for a second. There is an element, but it's a small percentage. I think that if you were to actually live in that environment for a number of years and have a ringside seat, and you would see that probably 50 or 60% of the people are just trying to get through the experience and make their retirement without anything bad happening. They're not really out there to disrespect or to harm anybody. They don't have an agenda. They got a job to do. That's Then there's another group of people that are actually trying to improve the situation or make it a positive, some positiveness out of it. And then there's a real small group of people that are like role models, that are just, they're awesome. They're inspirational. It's like, and they're rare. And then there's another little group of people that ought to be in prison living there because they're criminals and they're evil people that should not be allowed to operate or work in corrections. But it's a small percentage.
And one other thing. Well, actually, I had three questions, if you don't mind. But the other one is, what are your both of your opinions on the death penalty?
I have a little problem with the death penalty, but I'll tell you, if somebody killed one of my family members, I'd probably be in favor of that person dying. But if I can remove myself from it, I think that it's a bad idea to kill someone to demonstrate that killing is bad.
Right. And the other thing is, there was a book, I don't know if it's still in print, it came out in the 70s perhaps, called We're All Doing Time. Are you familiar with this book?
I have a copy.
Good. So with that in mind, when you were doing time, was there anybody in there that was teaching meditation, yoga, tai chi?
Not in my environment.
What a great question.
Uh-huh.
What a great question.
I was fortunate that I worked in the educational department at the South facility, which is a level one prison, which means very low key, you know, everybody is down to less than 2 years. Everybody's got a chance to go home now, and they can see the light at the end of the tunnel, so they pretty well behave, and it's a better environment. The educational department there was one gentleman there that had been in the Department of Corrections for like 30 years. He was a teacher. He was my boss. I worked for him. He was an inspiration, and he did a lot of good, and he helped as many people as he could. But, you know, his main thing was to try to get people so they could read or add simple numbers and, you know, do elementary school.
Was he an inmate or a guard?
No, he was a free man that came in every day, you know. And actually, he and his wife both worked for the Department of Corrections, and they both worked in the educational part of it. But in 30 years, he'd done just about everything. He'd worked at the fire department. He'd worked, you know, in many, many capacities. And he was a lighthouse of information for me.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Barry, for your call to the Saturday Special. Let's go to Ed in Aptos. Ed, you're on the air.
I unfortunately didn't hear the program from the start, but I was curious as to the number of people incarcerated for drug offenses.
It's a lot.
Speak up, please. Yeah.
Yeah. I think drug offenses the reason that they're in prison is drug related is huge. It's got to be more than 50% or even higher, probably a lot higher.
Yeah. The percentage of people in prison right now for drug related offenses is higher than violent crimes, and it's primarily because a lot of the people are drug users, and there's a lot of laws that have been put in place for sending people to prison that, you know, use drugs and have a drug problem. And once they go through the court and they can't meet the programs or the different type of I don't want to call them rehabilitation, but the different types of substance abuse programs that they try and put them in, and they can't meet those requirements, they end up sending them to prison. So a lot of people are there because they are drug addicts.
Kind of a follow-up question. Do you think that a system could be designed that would could lessen the number of inmates in prison that are, because of the drug their drug stuff, or sentencing, and just a general change in the public's attitude, or maybe just the legislature, but whoever has the authority to change the system, however it could be changed.
Well, there are a lot of steps being made towards that. I know one thing that's going on now is that before, in the past, you were able to be violated and sent back to prison for having a dirty urine sample when you went to report to your parole officer. And there are a lot of people who are addicts, and once they get out of prison, they return right back to the common ground when they went in. So what they started doing now is that if a person gives a dirty urine sample, what they have to do is there's a step. It's a progressional process to where they get to go to a treatment center, and then they have to get counseling, and then eventually the last step is prison, was opposed to before it was just, okay, you got a dirty test, you're going back in the pen.
Okay.
Now, isn't that sort of a result of our tight budgeting and things like that? I mean, I think a more relaxed approach to violating people. There's not enough beds in the prison system, and so they're and you know, what's kind of interesting is that with Schwarzenegger coming in as governor, so out of left field like this, he doesn't have any relationships, long-term relationships built up with like the CCPOA or these.
Which means what?
The California Correctional Peace Officers Association, which all the guards are part of that. So a lot of favors, you know, that existed in the past. Or now he doesn't owe anybody anything. So, you know, rumor has it that he's cleaning house. And I think that's, you know, that was a pretty encouraging thing that was an unexpected surprise.
Are you? I saw some kind of report on California that the gal that was running San Quentin is now the head of the prison system. Is that
the director? She's been.
Yeah. Was she pretty well thought of as when she, you know, for her duty she did at San Quentin? Or?
I don't know.
Heads are shaking here.
We don't know the answer. Yeah. But
she must have been well thought of by somebody.
Yeah.
Well, it seemed like her stats were pretty good. That what she had done was driven up the volunteerism and had gone out to the community and tried to, you know, to get a good volunteer program going, and she did, evidently, at San Quentin. There were some pretty good numbers where, you know, people were coming in and, I guess, doing literacy and whatnot that needed to be done on a volunteer basis. And maybe people from the outside coming in, I don't know if that would that be motivational somewhat to the inmates to have somebody, you know, take an interest in them from the outside rather than just throwing them in the dungeon and forgetting about them?
Yeah, it's not a dungeon, but...
Well, I use that, yeah, I realize it's not a dungeon, but I was just using that as basically just discarding them and you know, out of sight, out of mind type of thing.
Well, that's they're warehouses. They're just warehouses for humans and that are going to be, you know, housed for a given length of time. There is no motivation to make them better able to deal with the free world. You know, the saddest thing about the prison system, from my perspective, is that they don't teach any of the skills that are needed for surviving in a free environment. There's nothing realistic about what you learn in there. You don't learn how to balance a checkbook. You don't learn how to manage your money. You don't learn how to, you know, be rewarded for good, for doing good.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's no motivation to learn, really. And for most of the people in there, they don't. It's just a revolving door. They turn right around. They get out. They come right back. And the
Is
fact
that, what
that
they call it recidivism.
Recidivism, yeah. Uh-huh. Revolving door. You know, I've been out for 10 years, and I can't imagine that I would be dumb enough to put myself into a situation where I could find myself there again. But I also don't have a crystal ball, and I am a human being, and I'm capable of anything, as all human beings are. And so it's the prison system is a really difficult problem in our society and how we deal with those people, because for the most part, they're all coming back into the community. And if they were a dog and they were in a cage and every day you poked them with a stick and did things to them, it's just really, you wouldn't be surprised if when you turned them loose, if they bit someone. And,
even yourself.
Yeah, even themselves. But
No. The person who turned them loose.
Yeah, it's a very difficult problem, to say the very least. And the solutions to it are far-reaching.
I want to thank Ed for his call. Let's go now to Brian in Prunedale, our next caller to the KSCO Saturday special. Brian, you're on the air.
Good day, gentlemen.
Hi.
And you do sound like gentlemen. I think there's a common misconception about convicts and people in prison that they are these rabid animals that don't deserve any consideration, and that's not always the case. It's probably not the case in a lot of instances where you know, people made mistakes, and one of your previous callers brushed over the subject that I had wanted to talk about was, and one of you gentlemen did make the distinction that while not necessarily being drug offenses, I would like for you to make the distinction again about people that commit behaviors as a result of substance abuse and there was the percentage of 50% or more being those types of inmates, and I got to think that maybe the percentage is a little higher than that. That people that commit antisocial behaviors as a result of substance abuse, probably a high rate of the population there.
Is
that true?
Well, actually, what I said was that a lot of the people who get sent to prison, as opposed to the violent crimes, are there for drug-related offenses, as far as they've either used drugs repetitively and they were sent to prison because the court system just got tired of sending them the program, or they were selling drugs. But in all, a large portion of the people who are in prison were under some type of substance influence when they committed their crime. Is that what you're talking about, pretty much?
That's exactly my point. And it sounded as though you're suggesting that the system, quote-unquote, does give drug offenders a lot of latitude before they finally, you know, lock the door on them. And that's been my experience personally, too, is that, you know, I was given diversion. I was given a chance to recover. I was given the chances that anybody might think a person had a chance to deserve. And I still continued on my errant behaviors that finally resulted in incarceration for me. My message is that the influence of drugs and alcohol is so insidious and so pervasive that we really need to maintain the laws that we have and remove people who can't make decisions on their own regarding their behavior from the mainstream. And unfortunately, I don't see there being a parallel track for, you know, people that are just under the influence of drugs and can't get away, because we've given the society and the court system has given these people multiple chances to get right, and the insidiousness of drug addiction is so pervasive and just so extreme that common people can't decide on their own to get out of it. And so they end up getting tossed into the slammer and then eventually into the penitentiary system. And that's unfortunate, but the reason for my call was to make the connection between you two men and me and Mike Zwirling and the people that have their freedom and enjoy it and appreciate it now, having seen both sides of freedom. Isn't it great to have it back? And isn't it something to cherish and treasure? And even if it means not picking up the pipe, not picking up the fatty to light up the doobie, isn't it worth it to keep that freedom and be able to walk in the grass in your bare feet? That's what I always say. They don't let you do that when you're locked up.
Pretty much. I don't think there's anything left out there that would motivate me or get me to a point where I felt that prison is the next step or where I want to go, because I've been there, been down that road. I've seen where it is, you know, and in the past, my thing was alcohol, you know, and eventually.
Oh, yeah. That's why I included it. It's the oldest drug of all.
Right.
And believe me, and congratulations, you've had the awakening that I wish everybody could have. And I'm sorry it took the loss of your freedom for that to happen. But again, is there any booze or is there any dope out there that's worth losing your freedom over? And I think there's not.
No, there isn't. I have to agree with you on that one.
Brian, hallelujah.
Brian, thanks for your call this Saturday special. We do appreciate it. That was Brian in Prunedale. Here comes Richard in Watsonville. We do have open lines at 477-1340. Richard, you're on.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, good, my man. How are you?
Good, good. Glad to hear X still on the streets, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, X, last time I talked to you was on the phone.
You know, Richard, before the show tonight, I said, I bet you we hear from Richard and he'll be one of the people that'll remember me.
Of course, man.
I think we have a lot of people in the audience who have been loyal KSCO listeners for a long time, particularly to the Saturday special. If maybe I'm wrong, just out of curiosity, you don't have to go on the air, maybe someone will call us at 475-1080 for the business line if you don't want to go on the air, or 479-1080 or 477-1340 if you do. We'd love to hear from you. Go ahead, Richard. Sorry.
Well, I remember when X first got out of prison, he was, you know, I said he was going to go back because he was one of those statistics where they, what do you call it, the revolving door?
Yeah.
And then I met up with him on the phone one day. I heard a commercial, and I didn't like the way the commercial sounded. So I called the people that were running the commercial, and he answers the phone. And got the commercial straightened out, by the way. And I'm just sitting here listening to this, and I'm thinking, well, why Mr. Y2 there is sounding the same way as Mr. X did when he got out. Awful quiet. Is the paranoia that bad?
I don't know if it's paranoia. It's almost awe, you know, like to realize... it was kind of fun for me to chat with him a little bit when he first got out to compare, you know, what my experiences were. I noticed going into a grocery store in the produce department where you could smell everything was almost enough to make you faint. It was overwhelming. There was so much input, so much sensory input. And I asked him about that. And, you know, we had a chuckle because he had a similar sort of experience. And we talked about the first time a waitress stood next to you to take your order, and she was only about 6 or 7 inches away. And it was so weird to have a female standing that close to you.
Yeah, because you could smell that, too.
Yeah, exactly. And as a matter of fact, I was at a meeting, like a Tupperware party. It wasn't a Tupperware party, but it was something like that the other day, and there was a lady, and she had Y2 up against the wall, and she was about 6 inches from him, and she was eating a peach while she was talking to him, and it was one of the most amusing things I'd watched in a long time.
Unreal. Well, maybe this thing with Schwarzenegger is a good thing.
I think it is.
I mean, if he could get all the correctional officers to work for minimum wage, we'd really be happy.
That's not going to happen.
I know he'd like to get rid of that union, though.
Well, I think that it's scary to have a union that's so incredibly powerful and has so much influence and is so focused on, you know, there's a mental attitude that goes with it. That
yeah, there's some officers make more money than him.
Maybe.
More money than the governor.
I think it's most correctional officers start out around in the high 40, low 50 thousand a year range, and if they after a couple of years when they can start doing overtime and stuff, there's a lot of them that manage to hit over $100,000 a year.
And then the ones that have been there forever, they got the show going.
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh man. All right, take care.
Hey, thanks for calling, Richard. Great to hear from you. That was Richard N. Watsonville. Here comes none other than Rob Roberts in Oakland. Are you listening to us up there, Rob?
Mike, thank you. Good show today. I'm really enjoying listening to you and your guest. Very interesting and thought-provoking repartee you got going on. A few quick comments. I'm going to turn the line back over to you. I'd just like to say hello to Richard and address some points that he made in the last call. First of all, I don't begrudge our correctional officers 1 cent of what they make. Like the police officers that get out on the street and deal with the absolute stomach-turning things that most people, most normal people, decent people, don't abide by or nor could they tolerate. I'm just thankful that there are people that are willing to do that type of work. There's some reform that needs to be needed in our correctional system, no doubt. I'm the first one that will validate that assertion. And I got no problem with that. But the bottom line is we need qualified, trained people to deal with some of these folks that are, a lot of them are just absolutely obscene. And I just want to deal with the address what you've talked about earlier today with the drug problem from a different perspective, if you will. I'm a healthcare professional. I'm a registered nurse, and I work up here in the Bay Area. And a lot of the populations that I deal with are ex-offenders. Continual lifetime drug abusers. And we as a society pay an additional cost that perhaps some people in your audience aren't aware of. I see people that are 45, 46 years old, come into my hospital every day. They don't have kidneys. They need to go on dialysis. I work at a county hospital, and we just passed the sales tax here in Alameda County, making us the highest tax county in the state of California.
What is that, Rob?
8.75%.
Wow. It just went to 8.25 here in Santa Cruz yesterday.
To support our county hospital and to provide health care. And for most of the people that we're providing health care for are these throwaways. And this is not my... I'm only using the vernacular that many people use. These are the undesirables in our society. People of color, people that are very, very destitute economically, people that have been in the prison system, that are repeat offenders. And it's really, really sad, but the point that I want to make from a healthcare professional standpoint is the cost that we as a society are subsidizing with these people that continually abuse narcotics, continually abuse alcohol, indulge in these illicit and illegal behaviors. I have a guy that comes in, oh, heck, every other week to get his dialysis, and then he goes out, and the first thing he does is, burn cocaine through his nose again. There was a study done not too long ago here at my hospital, Michael. There are 125 people that were identified that cost the county of Alameda because of their continuing revolving door utilization of the health care system here in this county. They're responsible for between $4 and $6 million each year to the taxpayers of Alameda County. So I'm simply throwing that out, and I have a couple questions for you and your guests to perhaps mull over, if you would, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Go for it.
How far should we go as a society, as a people, and be responsible for the illicit, ill-disciplined, and undisciplined acts of others. You know, I don't snort cocaine. That's a choice that I have made, okay? But why should I, as a taxpayer, be taxed and subsidize the actions of those who elect to engage in that illegal behavior? And the second question I'd like to throw out for you guys, and you can talk about this, is just how, what are we supposed to do in lieu of providing, you know, having a really, really great, strong, institutionalized correctional system? What is the, you know, what's the other side of the coin? Because I'm here to tell you, from a healthcare standpoint, from a professional, someone that's in this every day, these people continually reoffend. They go out and they continue to abuse these drugs, and they continue to be arrested. At what point do we draw the line? I mean, what other alternatives do we have? And is there a point where we say enough is enough? We just throw them all in there, and there's not going to be any more taxing to subsidize this illicit behavior. And I'll take my answer off the air and join the show. You guys have a super safe 4th of July weekend.
Hey, you too, Rob. Thanks for calling. There goes Rob Roberts, a former talk host here on AM 1080 KSCO, a very popular talk host from several years ago. And he lives up in the Bay Area now. It's nice to hear that he's still listening to the radio station here on AM 1080 KSCO. Who wants to answer his questions or thoughts?
Well, I'll just say that to answer his first question, or to try and touch it, you know, there is a breaking point where you have to say, all right, this person or this group of individuals or these people here continuously do the things that they've always done in the past, and they're going back once they're released to their old neighborhood, or they're going back and they're going to their old drugs. You know, what the taxpayers should do, you know, there's really no simple solution. It's something that's going to have to, you know, be mulled over, and there's something that's going to have a strategy put in place for it. But, you know, I understand his frustration, because there are times when people have been given chances, and then they come back, and then they go through the same process over again, and people become frustrated, and they just feel like, you know, there's nothing that a person can do. What more can I do? You know, they get that attitude. But there are individuals out there who go through prison, or who have been using drugs, or who start using drugs and alcohol, that realize that it's not something that they want to continue, or they realize that it's something difficult for them to overcome themselves. So they need support. You know, how much support they get from the community, that's another question. But people do need support, and people do need help. But, you know, you can't continue to go and help people that won't help themselves.
That was Mr. Y, too. Mr. X, you have a response to Rob at all?
Well, it's it would be almost probably an hour to discuss just what I think you'd have to do to the Department of Corrections to get it so that it had a chance of being functional. Probably the biggest problem starts with parenting in the school system before these people become drug addicts or you know, undesirables in our communities and end up in prison. They didn't just suddenly one day become a drug addict. It was a whole long course of events that starts with low self-esteem that usually comes out of dysfunctional childhood and educational opportunities, perhaps limited, are not good role models in our school system. I don't know if any of you caught the thing that was in the news a couple of days ago with Bill Cosby. He and I think Jesse Jackson were in the news a couple of days ago, and then it was pretty interesting article Bill Cosby had to say about his dissatisfaction with what's going on in the black community. But you know, it's not just the black community, of course. It affects everybody, and it's kind of interesting. The job I had in the prison system, just to go back at something we were talking about a few minutes ago, I worked for the assignment lieutenant, and so every inmate had to be assigned a job or be in school or something. And then if he had restrictions, like let's say you stole a car, well, you couldn't work in the garage, or if you were a drug addict, you couldn't work in the hospital, or if you were a sex offender, you couldn't work where there were any female employees, you couldn't have a job outside the perimeter of the fence, you know, and so forth. And so the Department of Corrections at least when I was there, and I imagine it's probably the same, they want to get it a blend of everybody and everything. So on the yard I was on, there was about 30% black, 30% white, 30% Mexican, and 10% other. And there were, and that's not the same ratio as those populations in our community, which is kind of interesting. And then there was, the only one that really sticks in my mind is there were 17% were sex offenders. So there's a you know, different groups and in the prison system, and they really need to be dealt with in completely different ways. Almost all the sex offenders that come into prison have a work ethic, and they're educated, and they can maintain whole jobs, for example. So a lot of them, their whole treatment thing. They're I don't want to say, when I say treatment, I don't mean like. I mean, the way that they're managed is different, for example, than somebody that is Hispanic, non-English speaking, has got a third grade reading level, and they are going to be deported when they're released from prison, and they are members of gangs, for example. You know, it's just like, boy, that's a radically different group. For example, than let's say people that embezzle or that commit some sort of white collar crime. I mean, that's just so small. There's hardly anybody in prison for that.
You know what? It's 13 minutes before 12 noon. 13 minutes remain in this program. We have to take a commercial break, but don't go away, because when we come back, Leon, a correctional officer from Soledad, will be on the air with us here on the Saturday special. So stay with us. Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley. We'll be back right after this commercial break on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO.
My name is Troy, and I met my fiancée on eHarmony.com.
My name is Tom, and I met my fiancée, Brenda, on eHarmony.com.
My name is Jack, and I met my wife, Jennifer, on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the thousands of eHarmony matches. Dating services give you a picture and a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
Hi, my name's Daniel, and I found my fiance Allison at eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy couples out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Life is a journey, so take more of them. Did you know you can travel 1,000 miles for less than $250, including room and board? But wait, RVs of Meriden Scotts Valley now has a motorhome that gets 22 miles per gallon. That's right, it's the new MB Cruiser with a Mercedes turbo diesel engine, 5-speed transmission, and it's fully self-contained. You can use it for work, vacation, and get a second home write-off, too. The MB Cruiser is only 22 feet long, and it's beautiful. Remember, 15-year motorhome financing is still available with payments less than a new car payment. RVs of Merit has over 4 acres of Winnebagos, Alphacias, Weekend Warrior, Toy Haulers, Bigfoot, Forest River, National RV, Airbus, and pre-owned motorhomes too. The sooner you have an RV, the longer you can enjoy it. Come to RVs of Merit, say hi, and look over the 2004 closeout models now, while selection is the best. RVs of Merit is open 9 to 6 every day. RVs of Merit on Scotts Valley Drive, just north of Santa Cruz in Scotts Valley.
You've heard how too much sun exposure can damage our skin, from burning to drying to premature aging. Here's pharmacist Ben Fuchs on how to treat our skin better.
Alpha hydroxy acids are tiny molecular acidic structures that are found throughout nature, but when you put them on top of your skin, they have a remarkable ability to stimulate skin movement. Fortunately for us, our skin grows from the bottom to the top every day. And alpha hydroxy acids have an incredible ability to stimulate that movement, to encourage the growth of new tissue. And alpha hydroxy acids are made by every single one of the cells in your body, so they're completely non-toxic. And the most famous alpha hydroxy acid of all is glycolic acid. It's also found in sugar cane and sugar maple. That's the main source of alpha hydroxy acid. But as I said earlier, it's found throughout nature, and that accounts for its incredible gentleness and incredible safety. Alpha-hydroxy acids work by turning on the systems of the skin. They also turn on collagen structure. So alpha-hydroxy acids are very important for people who are suffering from wrinkling or photo damage as well, because they can actually support the growth of collagen, the protein that helps support skin tissue. Alpha-hydroxy acids also can help even out skin tone, and they can help smooth out skin texture as well. So the combination of incredible gentleness and incredible effects make alpha-hydroxy acids one of the most important things you can put on top of your skin.
So if you're suffering from dry, sun-damaged skin, or just want to smooth out those crow's feet, call your American Longevity distributor and ask for the Envision Alpha-Hydroxy Facial Scrub. This gentle facial cleanser is designed to deep clean and remove the damaged surface layer of skin to reveal a smoother, younger-looking complexion. And at $24.50 a tube wholesale, it makes looking good easy and affordable. To order, call 425-3090. The number again is 425-3090. That's 425-3090. And be sure to ask about becoming a wholesale buyer for free.
In Santa Cruz and Monterey, AM 1080, KSCO.
Or if you want to get a live person, call Judy DeVilbiss at 728-3500 if you want to find out more about that alpha-hydroxy stuff. Hey, listen, it is 8 minutes to the top of the hour, and this has been one of the better programs on the Saturday Special, according to feedback we've received from the audience. So thank you. I want to thank the guests, Mr. Y2 and Mr. X, and we still have a few minutes to go here, so let's take Leon's call. Leon is a correctional officer from Soledad, and Leon, welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special. You're on.
Hello. Thank you, fellas. How's everyone doing today?
Great.
Great. Well, I just wanted to say your program, and I want to thank Mr. X and Y2, everyone showing up. They seem like they've been fairly accurate from what they're saying, a fair representation of the prison system. Just one thing as far as the goal of the prison system, it's not punishment, it's not rehab. It is basically, as they said, it's a warehouse. It's safety and security for society. And also, as far as, there are different, conspiracy theories about, incidents with overtime and stuff like that. The officers and the inmates, everyone in the prison system has conspiracy theories about pretty much everything. Besides that, it's been a real good show.
Okay, and you made it even better. Thanks for calling the Saturday Special. Do you have any questions before you're off the line? Do any of the guests have a... Do you know the person who's calling?
No, I don't.
Okay. Great. And so Leon, you're a current correctional officer at Soledad State Prison?
Yes. Yes, I am.
How long have you been there?
I've worked in the prison system for 9 years. At this particular prison, 6 years.
Uh-huh. Any kind of changes that you've noted in your tenure?
Absolutely. Different things like the weight pile. They're changing the package systems. As you already mentioned, it was, the weight pile, and that was basically the union was concerned about the size of inmates and the strength of inmates. Stuff like that. It's basically an interesting place to work.
Hey, if you were king, what changes would you implement immediately?
I would move out the non-violent offenders and take them away from being housed with the violent offenders is what I'd probably do.
So they don't have separate facilities? Don't they have lighter security places? No?
It all depends on the length of the sentence, basically. You could have someone housed, on the same yard as a multiple murderer, as someone, stealing cars, if they get enough time.
I think Mr. Y2 has something to share here.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on that point because a lot of times people say the nonviolent offenders opposed to the violent offenders, and that my experience is, even though a lot of people are convicted of a nonviolent crime, they're still violent people, sometimes.
you know, and then two, some of the times where people are getting a drug offense or still in a car, that was just something that they did at that time, you know, and come to find out in prison, they're more violent than a person who's been convicted of a violent crime. So
I would have to agree with Mr. Y. I'd have to agree. But there's little things. There's like in any large business, there's a lot of waste. They should let, you know, officers who work the line actually run the different yards and departments versus administration who doesn't, you know, step in the housing unit every single day. You know, I think it would run smoother.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. We do appreciate it. Are you near South Soledad right now?
I am at work right now.
Oh, my gosh. Great. Okay. Well, keep the radio station on the air there at Soledad State Prison. We hope we're entertaining and informing those who listen.
Hey, real briefly, Mr. Z, what Mr. X was saying about there's a small, you know, population of the officers that are basically hoodlums. I agree with that, and I appreciate him saying it's a small percentage, and it's not everybody.
Yeah, not at all.
Great. Hey, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Hey, we've got just two or three, about 3 minutes left, less than 3 minutes, 479-1080, 477-1340, but I think we want to wrap something up here, right, Dan?
Well, I just want to say about this thing about punishment. You know, people are sent to prison to be punished. People that are working for prisons are there dealing with the housing and the warehousing of souls. But it's the reason that they're sent to prison is to punish them, not to rehabilitate them and not to warehouse them. It's just that that's coincidental. That's just my understanding of it, and I believe that to be true.
Mr. Y, too, anything seem... What struck you as particularly different when you got out of prison?
Everybody had a cell phone. When I went to prison, having a cell phone was associated with some sort of social status. You know, if you had a cell phone, you had a good job, and you were, you know, good credit or whatever. But now it seems like everybody has a cell phone. First thing I noticed, there's like, you know, kids, 12, 11, 10, they got a cell phone. They're on the bus.
Cell phones are cheaper than landlines now.
Yeah, they are cheaper than
landlines. Most of them include long distance for no additional charge and roaming and so forth. Well, gee, I want to thank both of you for being with us today on the day before the 128th anniversary of this country's birth.
228.
Excuse me. Yes. Thank you. And we'll do it again sometime if you guys are up to it. Y2, best of luck to you. I got a funny feeling you're going to be just fine, you know. No question in my mind, really. And we really should have a promo to tell people that if they missed the Saturday special and they say, oh, damn, I missed the Saturday special, if they have an internet connection, all they need to do is launch their browser, Internet Explorer or Netscape, and type in SaturdaySpecial.com, or better yet, go to our website, www.ksco.com, and click on the Saturday Special link in the left-hand margin, and the most recent Saturday Special will start playing. And so this one, if we get a good recording of it, should be up in the next 2 or 3 hours, I guess. So if you were to click on it now, you'll get last week's, but, you know, it'll be up pretty soon. So I want to thank you both for appearing again, and I wish everybody in our audience a fine Independence Day, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, that's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY, Watsonville.
Radio Network News.